Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon. I've learned just now that you are in a bit of a heat wave. When you tell me 34 degrees Celsius, I had to look that up. 93 degrees, that's nothing to sneeze at here. How's it going with all those temperatures going up there?
It is warm, to say the least. So a little difficult to concentrate, but needless to say, I have been making use of the new AI summary in the weather app every day, nice. Every minute, just hoping it will be over.
Nice. Well, the reason I bring it up is because not only is the temperature going up for you in your area, that's not the only thing going up these days. This is a good segue into price hikes with, I guess, just Apple products in general, but starting with the iPhone. Tim Cook recently said that price hikes are unavoidable. He told the Wall Street Journal that Apple can no longer absorb rising memory and storage costs, which, I mean, kudos to Apple for sticking it out this long, because like all the other prices have gone up for things and Apple has tried its best to not, but it looks like things are going to go up. So we already saw the Mac Mini went up from $599 to $799. So basically what they did there was they just dropped an entire tier, correct? So they don't offer two options anymore. Yes. It's just the higher tier. So it's not really a price hike, but you just can't get a cheaper one anymore.
And the same goes for the Mac Mini as well.
Yeah. What did I say? I thought I said the Mac Mini.
It was both the Mac Mini and the Mac Studio that experienced
those
kinds of cuts.
So that's what got a cut. And then it looks like the iPhone could get a price hike here. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, Tim Cook in this interview was non-specific about where we would be seeing this. And my expectation is we will see this across the board. I can't think that the Mac, which is the product line where we have already seen these the influence of these cost pressures already come into force effectively by losing some of these lower tier products, be totally immune to further changes, considering that these are devices you can load up with loads of memory and a lot of SSD storage. So I certainly would expect that over the next year, as we receive new Mac models, we're still waiting on that M5 Pro Mac Mini and on the new Mac Studio, as well as we've got these high-end so-called MacBook Ultra models coming down the road early next year, which are delayed partly due to these cost pressures, I would imagine that those are all going to cost more than before.
Yeah, that's not great. I'm curious how this is going to impact the iPhone 18 as well. I mean, I'm guessing it's just only a matter of time when those get launched later this year. Specifically the Pro and the Ultra. I mean, we had a lot of talks about how the Ultra could be very expensive. Is that just all going to get impacted then?
I don't know it will impact the Ultra so much, because the Ultra was already a high-end product, or would already have been a high-end product. And ultimately, putting a 12 gigabyte memory chip in the iPhone Ultra is going to cost the same as it would cost to put in an iPhone 18 Pro. So I don't know that we'll see a dramatic increase, and that's a brand new product. So we won't really know anything any different if they were planning to target it at $2,000 and it ends up being $2,200. But I think we should look at some of the detail here, because some of these specifics here are pretty shocking. So this is from the Wall Street Journal and Tech Insights, which looked at the actual cost of the RAM that goes into iPhone models. So right now, a 12 gigabyte memory chip to go in the iPhone costs Apple $39. That's what it was costing Apple at the time of the launch of the iPhone 17 Pro. Then, when it comes forward to this year, it will cost as much as $145 just for that one chip. That's and then crazy. When you include an increase in the cost of SSD storage, which is also considerable, not quite as large, but still very considerable, they are projecting that to be an increase from $13 to $51. That is a 25% increase in the estimated bill of materials for the device, taking it from, for the iPhone 17 Pro, from about $582 up to $726. So that is a considerable rise. And of course, Apple still needs to maintain its margin. It's not just about the bill of materials of that device. There's research and development. There's maintaining all of the software and servers. There's retail stores. There's all of these other things that are built into that cost as well. So the ultimate calculation that the Wall Street Journal did here was that in order to maintain its margin, an iPhone 18 Pro would need to cost $1,371, which would be considerable. Chances are they would go for 1299 because that's a more round number. But you're talking, you know, a $200 increase at the very least.
Oh yeah, I forgot they went up. That's crazy. Well, I mean, companies are kind of doing this to themselves, right? I mean, AI is a big reason for this. All of these companies are investing in AI, and the more artificial intelligence that we have, the resources needed for it is this. This is, I mean, am I wrong? This is the biggest reason why all of this stuff is being short. And so Apple, it's kind of like a catch-22. Apple has been behind in AI, and now they're pushing brand new Siri AI, and there's ChatGPT and Claude and more places than ever that have these things. And so now, you know, the more we put into it, the more we're going to need. And now they're going to have to raise their prices and eat the costs on some other things. So it's just kind of, it's interesting to see this happen in real time. And when is this ever going to get better is the real question.
I don't know that it will get better in terms of what consumers perceive, because I don't think the prices are going to come back down. I think that it's once they go up, they don't come back down, because with all of Apple's cost pressures and inflation, it's unlikely that will happen. Because, I mean, let's face it, the actual price of the iPhone has not really meaningfully increased since the iPhone 10 back in 2017. Yeah. Prices have remained steady since then, even though there's been a lot of inflation. So the iPhone is kind of due a price increase. And I imagine that these additional cost pressures are just what has ticked that over the edge. I actually am doubtful that the price increases will be this high, because I think Apple will be willing to eat into its margin and will not look to maintain its exact 47% margin. I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see a smaller increase of $50, $100 over the current price. I think this getting as high as $1,300 or $1,400 over what you would pay today, I think that is very unlikely. Just because it's so hard to stomach. I mean, if you've just bought an iPhone 17 Pro, you're the normal kind of annual upgrader. That is a very big increase in cost for a device that, while I'm sure it'll be good, we're not expecting it to be dramatically different from the iPhone 17 Pro. It will look the same. We're going to get the variable aperture camera, faster chip. But on the whole, this is a very small upgrade year we're looking at. So I just can't see Apple suddenly commanding many hundreds of dollars more for the iPhone in particular. I think certain iPhone models are more likely to see it. Things like the 1 terabyte iPhone model undoubtedly will get more expensive. Maybe the MacBook Pro. But I would have thought that entry-level devices in particular and low-end, like the standard iPhone 18 Pro, and then when we get to early next year, the standard iPhone 18, I think those maybe are more likely to be a little bit protected from extreme cost rises. I don't know that it's going to be a linear rise across the board, because I would have just thought if they're going to increase the price of each device by $300, I don't know that's really viable. If we take the standard iPhone 18 up to $1,000, that I think that would put a lot of buyers off. So,
but also, what doesn't help is that a lot of these prices, we talk about it a lot, they're all subsidized. So it just it's a lot when you're looking at it as a whole, but then when you're like, oh, it's only $4 more a month, what's $4? And if you say that every single year and you don't really look back, you know, you do the, what's the term, girl math? I do it constantly where I'm like, it's only four. It doesn't matter. Like, it's fine. But like, it really does. We're just not looking at the grand scheme of things. But yeah, I mean, if there's ever a time to not do a yearly upgrade, it's never been like more time than the present. Like, please stop upgrading every year. You don't need it. Unless you're going to a full, you know, the ultra, you know, that's a different form factor. I get that. You know, that makes a little more sense. But yeah, just to think we really need to start looking at. And I think a lot of normal people do. I think they're really just 2 to 3 years at minimum is probably how long they're keeping their phone. Like my wife, I give her the whatever the next year, like next, you know, this September, I'll give her my 17 Pro. Like she just goes a year behind. But honestly, if I just said, keep what you got, like you're fine for a little bit, she wouldn't care. She wouldn't, if I didn't do it for her, she probably wouldn't upgrade until it was like noticeably something wrong and prohibiting, you know, her from doing the things that she normally does. And yeah, a lot of these phones can last. So like, hold on to your devices because they're just getting more expensive.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
And Apple's not stupid, right? So I would expect that maybe what's more likely is that they will increase prices by $50 or $100 this year and then maybe another $50 or $100 next year and try and smooth it out just a little bit, which makes it much more palatable. I don't think that certainly many people in the tech community are going to be outraged if the iPhone costs $50 more this year.
No. I also wouldn't be surprised if they cut another, you know, storage tier, which we saw already in the Mac Mini and the Mac Studio. I don't know. What are we at? 256 now? Could they make 512 the standard? They can do whatever they want. But that would just be interesting to see if that's kind of where we go then instead. It's like, well, you know, we're not raising the prices, but you can't get this model. So it's an easier way to stomach. It's like, at least I'm getting something for the extra cost, even though I don't need it probably. But yeah, there's a lot here that's not great, but hopefully Apple kind of decides to eat a little bit more than what we're anticipating. And I think they probably will. I do agree with you on that.
The only other aspect of this that we haven't touched on here is when these are coming. So
yeah.
Mark Gurman believes that the price hikes are imminent. So it won't even be waiting until the iPhone 18 Pro. These could turn around by the time people listen to this podcast. Maybe the price rises will have happened. It really could be any day. We have no idea. And if so, that really would be unprecedented for an iPhone lineup to get more expensive midway through the cycle, especially at this time of year when...
So we're even, you know, more than midway.
It would be pretty late stage price increases. But I think that would really speak to quite how much pressure Apple has been under. I'm just so interested to see which products this affects and how. Although this has not been mentioned, my expectation is this is going to focus on the Mac, not the iPhone. The iPhone is too popular. And there is an argument to suggest it will coincide with the back to school sale, which normally is about 8 to 10 days after WWDC. So we are sort of roughly in that time period right now. So it could make sense that we will just wake up one of these days, and in particular the Mac lineup is maybe $100 or $200 more across the board.
I mean, we're past that.
Which would be a shame for the MacBook Neo, right? That would be the biggest problem.
I was going to say, we're past that 8 to 10 days, by the way. What if there's just no back-to-school sale this year? What if they're just like, we're just not going to do it because they can't? They got to do something, right? They do it every year. I don't know how long. Have they ever not done it before?
I think they have done it every year. I would be shocked if they did not do it this year.
But then how do you combat that? Well, the prices went up, so it's no longer $19.99 for this MacBook. It's $22.99, but you can get it for $21.99 if you're going back to school. Like that okay, you basically just only raised it $100 instead of $200. So I don't really know. I don't want to be the PR person for that. So I'm glad I'm not. But like, yeah, I mean, that's not great. But yeah, the MacBook Neo, is it still delayed? I haven't even looked into this. Is it still hard to get?
It's still pretty heavily delayed. And we heard a bunch of rumors early in the year about how Apple was trying to meet demand. And there were rumors that even that device could drop its 256 gigabyte option, leaving 512 as the only available tier. We haven't seen that occur yet, but there is every chance that that may yet occur. It's very difficult to say. It's a very unpredictable time. You know, a huge part of what we do in the Apple community, particularly at MacRumors, is look at Apple's patterns. And we're very used to its traditions and what it does every year, which gives you really an intuitive understanding of what to expect from them. Because on the whole, although they'll never tell you that the iPhone 18 is coming out this year, everyone knows the iPhone 18 is coming out in September, and a huge amount of the company's behavior can be viewed through that lens. Stuff like this is unprecedented. We've never seen these kinds of price increases on components in the industry, not really since COVID. And even then, that was supply chain difficulty. It did not relate to specific components being in such high demand that the prices just go through the roof here. So I would suggest if you're planning to buy a new MacBook or an iPhone, maybe you want to do that now and not tomorrow.
I mean, MacBook Neo, I'm looking at it right now. Some models, not all models, are in stock. You can't get it shipped, which is weird. Like, I have one. I'm pretty much everything on Apple's website I can pick up today. All of them are delayed in terms of, like, for multiple weeks in terms of shipping, which is strange. So it just must be whatever stock they have in store, and people just don't want to go to the store, I guess. That's for 256. Same thing for 512. Looking at Target, some of them are in stock, some of them are not. So you can still get it. I recommend, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I'm kind of back and forth, you know, I don't know if I want one, or my kid might need one for back to school, just go get it now. If you're even remotely considering it, it's an excellent laptop. It'll do just fine. And before it gets up there in price, like, just go do it now. Yeah, I mean, kind of a bummer thing to start with, but that's the biggest news. Yeah, it's kind of the biggest news this week. We also have had some more insight into some of the upcoming hardware for this year, which is literally in just a few months. Let's start. We've talked. We'll touch on the iPhones, but we haven't really talked a lot about Apple Watch. And I mean, I think the latest news was that there will be an Ultra 4 this year, which is, I mean, I would say in years past, like, oh, we're getting a new watch. That's not news. Like, that happens every year. But it really hasn't been the case with the Ultra. What are we expecting with the Ultra 4? Is that just going to be kind of what it's been? Or are we actually thinking there's going to be some meaningful upgrades this year?
The short answer is we don't know.
Of course.
We know so little about these new Apple Watches, and
always
that is kind of like last year, except what became clear last year is that the reason we didn't know a whole lot is because there wasn't a whole lot to know. There was so little new on last year's watches that it's unsurprising that there was so little in the rumor mill. So I kind of hate to say it, but maybe that is pretty much the same this year. We're not expecting a major redesign. There were some rumors that the Ultra 4 could be a redesigned model, given that we've had three versions of the previous design. It's been has hung around for enough time now that maybe it is time to give that device a little bit of a refresh, but we've had no specifics or details about that whatsoever, so that's probably quite unlikely. We've heard rumors about maybe an improved rear sensor array that's more accurate for heart rate monitoring. I don't know, something like that. But again, no specific details. There were rumors about Touch ID. Those don't look like they're happening anymore. So really, the only thing that I feel confident in saying about this year's Apple Watches is the new chip. Because last year was the very first time that the Apple Watch did not receive a new chip. Last year's Series 11 has the same S10 chip as the Series 10. And that really suggests that this year probably will be a sort of headline feature, that we will get the S11. And now that we have Apple Intelligence on the Apple Watch with the Siri app and an increasing number of AI-related features. I know you still have to pair it to an iPhone, and a lot of it works off the iPhone. But we are now entering the true era of Apple intelligence, I suppose you could say. I imagine that this chip will have capabilities that are specialized toward AI, because ultimately the Apple Watch chips are based on the iPhone, just a few years behind, and that kind of lines up. I can't remember exactly which iPhone chip this would be based off, but it probably is going to be based off like the A18 or the A19, maybe even the A20, who knows, but probably the A19. That is obviously a chip that was produced, optimized for AI tasks. The same will probably be true of the Apple Watch this year, which gives Apple enough of a story, because the Apple Watch is becoming an AI wearable. The fact that they have put the Siri app right on that dynamic app grid as the main app, I think it is undeniably going to be very useful and change a lot of the way that we use the Apple Watch now. So it makes sense to me that this will be at the core of how the Series 12 and Ultra 4 is marketed, especially if they can say this is all enhanced and powered by the very first Apple Watch chip that is capable of on-device AI. But I don't know if other than that we're really going to get anything at all.
Yeah, I mean, I know we talk about it for years about new health features and stuff. The non-invasive blood glucose monitoring is still not anytime soon, I'm guessing.
Probably not, at least not this year.
Which is, Samsung's already beat, like, I know they don't care when people beat them to it, but like, what is the holdup? Like, are we moving away from this being a health thing that's groundbreaking, and now they're like, well, AI on your wrist is more important? I know we just kind of touched on that, but like,
I think the space has just been really stagnant. Apple is working on this stuff. I mean, we've heard so many rumors about Apple working on blood glucose monitoring, blood pressure monitoring, even things like blood alcohol monitoring. And it has made acquisitions in this area and is miniaturizing this technology. And I don't doubt that we will get it eventually. But it has slowed down. And I don't think that the Apple Watch is in a great place. And I feel I should clarify that by saying the Apple Watch to me is still undoubtedly the best smartwatch you can buy, and fitness tracker that you can buy, the kind of all-round package, especially for its price. I think it is a fantastic product and is quite a mature product in a lot of respects. But also I feel like that it is a device that has kind of plateaued in terms of the technology that's currently available, a little bit like the iPad. You know, once we got to that OLED iPad Pro where it got very thin and we got that new redesigned keyboard, Apple basically did everything with the hardware that it can do with today's technology. And it doesn't mean that it's not a fantastic device, but it's just like, okay, the iPad's done now. There's not a whole lot more we have to really say about the iPad for a few years until, I don't know, we have a breakthrough in battery technology or something really significant. The same kind of goes for the Apple Watch now. I mean, there's no cameras on there that we can lean on improving. You're not performing productive tasks where you're dependent on a huge amount of power. The battery in it is tiny, and it's questionable how much you can really improve that year on year. So what can we do with it? Add health features. But those take time. There's obviously a lot of regulatory approval that is required. So I think it's just, you know, enjoy the Apple Watch you have, but it's probably not an annual upgrade thing anymore. It just isn't. I remember, you know, going back to this, the Series 2, 3, 4, that was a time in which maybe some people in the tech community were upgrading their Apple Watch annually. I very rarely hear of that now.
It's not necessary. Although, unless you want to take advantage of Siri AI, which is now, what, the 9 or later?
But it's still not an annual upgrade.
No, but you need to get up to that. Like, you have something less than that, correct?
I do. So I have a Series 8, and that is what is going to push me to upgrade to a Series 12. But
exactly. But then once you're there, you don't need to worry about it for a while.
The question is a little bit different, though, because let's say that the Series 12 comes out, and it's the same, but it's just got a faster chip, and I can get a good price on a Series 10 or even a Series 11. Why would I buy the Series 12? Because right now, there is no reason really to buy the Series 11 if you can get the Series 10 at a good price. Yeah. And it's just because I just don't think that they should be releasing these watches every year now.
I agree.
I think that more so than any other product that does receive regular updates, I think that the Apple Watch is the product now where they just need to slow down. It's okay. And I think that we kind of seen them have an awareness of this because they did skip a year for the Apple Watch Ultra. The Apple Watch Ultra 2 was on sale for 24 months. That's a really long time for that kind of product. And even last year with the Series 11, yes, it was a tiny upgrade, but they kept the chip exactly the same. So we have had the S10 chip for 2 years. So if they're going to do all of that, they may as well just at this point leave it 18 months like the iPad or leave it a full 2 years. I don't think that that is going to be any sort of problem. I don't think there are going to be complaints. And it's not the kind of thing that people have, en masse on carrier plans. I know that you can get it on a carrier plan. It's not all that common to do that and then to be on some kind of 12-month contract where you want to upgrade at the end of 12 months. Very few people are doing that. It's not going to have a market impact in the same way that it would if they did that with the iPhone.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
And 18 months would be fine. You could just unveil it at the iPhone, like the standard iPhone event or whenever they drop those, if they don't even do an event. You know, I don't know how that's going to work. But, the Apple Watch is still, something I'm wearing right now. It's something that if you have one and been using one for years, it's part of your life. I will say there are other options out there that work well. There's still nothing better than an Apple Watch working natively with your iPhone and all of the products and the ecosystem, blah, blah, blah. But if you want something that does fitness tracking per se, you don't even need a watch. Maybe you don't want the screen and you just want a Whoop or the new Google band that I cannot remember the name of.
Fitbit one.
Yeah, the Fitbit Air, which I need to get on to test. But like that is another option that will do all of that and work with Apple Health, and it works on your iPhone and you don't need to have an Apple Watch. I use this for one. This is the Garmin Fenix 8 Pro or whatever. It's a great watch. It does everything my Apple Watch can do, does more things that my Apple Watch can't do that I don't need, but it just has the ability. I use it for one very specific thing. People will roll their eyes. I'm not even going to say what it is. I'll let you guys figure it out for yourself. It's a sport. You'll figure it out. I use it for one very specific thing that my Apple Watch cannot do. But if you told me, hey, you have to pick one, honestly, I might probably pick the Fenix because it's a round watch. I like the way it works. It's got really good battery life. And the way I use my Apple Watch, it does everything aside from work with my fitness, getting the rings closed, which if I don't have an Apple Watch, I probably wouldn't care about that. And now with the latest iOS 27, technically in theory, that would start to, right? That would start to show the steps and move some of those things along. I don't know for sure if that's actually tracking the correct way or not. At least from a steps perspective is all I kind of care about. But yeah, you can do all of these things. There's other watches that work well with iOS that you can get. So I don't know. I don't think it's ever going to take over Apple's like market share in terms of watches. It's an option.
It's just the Apple Watch is the most popular smartwatch. And I think that's for good reason. It's very accessible, easy to use, and it's inexpensive. And it does what it sets out to do, which is fitness, notifications, maybe payments. It does all of that stuff extremely well. And they've got some decent finishes. There's a huge ecosystem of Apple Watch bands out there that work going right back to the original model. It is a highly successful product, and I'm not being critical of it. It's just kind of boring.
Now.
And I just wish that they would be a little bit braver to say, or to just not even say it, but just leave it just that little bit longer. And then if, say, the gap between the Series 12 and Series 13 was a full 18 months or 2 years, I feel like there would be so much more excitement and enthusiasm if we had gone 2 years now without seeing a new Apple Watch. there would just be, I feel like we would be talking about it way more. And I worry that maybe they've flooded the market a little bit too much with these products every year without really having a good reason for these products to exist. And on that point, I just want to say it really bugs me that they call it Series still. It really does bug the hell out of me because I don't know why they call it Series. It makes no sense to me.
Oh, the I thought you said Siri, like Siri.
Yeah. So Series.
I have
no idea because when they unveiled the Apple Watch, and it didn't have a Series because it was just the Apple Watch, which makes sense. Correct. We've seen that with basically every other product. And then when they had the Apple Watch Series 2, which came out a year later, they unveiled it alongside a Series 1, which had a faster chip, which, okay, that kind of makes sense. So you then had the unofficial Series 0, the Series 1, and the Series 2. Uh-huh. That all makes sense. But crucially, it made sense because around that time, they had the Apple Watch Sport. Then they had the kind of like the Apple Watch Classic. I don't think they called it that at the time, but it was the models with stainless steel. We've seen other stuff over the years, like the Apple Watch Edition, which has disappeared. But at the time where you had those different lines, it made sense that there was a series of watches.
Right.
But why is there a series of watches now? Because, okay, there are some titanium models in there, but they're not, but that's different because it's got different numbers. So what do they mean when they say this is the Series 11? The series of what? So you've got some titanium models and some that are aluminium, and that is the only difference across your series. But there's no actual wording for why that's different. So we don't call that the Apple Watch Titanium and the Apple Watch Aluminium. We don't call it the Apple Watch Sport and the Apple Watch Classic.
I just always anticipated that as just the year, you know, like iPhone 12, it's Series
12. But then why is it not just Apple Watch 12?
You can just call it Apple Watch 12. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly. So that's the thing.
Are you really going to talk about Apple's naming conventions?
This is a neglected naming convention. We haven't talked about this specific problem in the naming before.
Okay, I was going to say, this isn't new. It's not like we've just all of a sudden woken up and discovered that Apple's bad at naming things sometimes.
No, that's true, but this is just one that lately...
That's fine, I'll give you that.
It's just been bothering me a lot more because, I mean, maybe, you know, some of our listeners will have some ideas in the comments of something I'm missing here about why it is considered to be a series when the other watches in the series, the SE and the Ultra, use different numbering and are not considered to be part of that series. Makes no sense to me at all.
No.
Call it the Apple Watch 12, please.
I'm fine with that. God, don't even get me started, because now you're going to make me talk about what you should do with the iPad and the iPhone numbers. Just stop before we start going down the same thing again.
Well, I mean, Apple's going in the right direction here, because we've seen this with the numbering for iOS, switching to the annual system of now it's going to be iOS 27, and everything is 27, even in all of Apple's back-end code. That makes a lot of sense. I think probably eventually there will be change with this naming because I can't see that we're going to get to the iPhone 19 or we're going to get to the iPhone 21, these weird odd numbers. And the longer it goes on, the more ridiculous it sounds. And that is not so far away that we will be having those kinds of conversations. Same goes for, are we going to get to Apple Watch Series 13, 14, 15? It just really does start to sound silly that you'd have, say, next year, an Apple Watch Series 13 alongside an Apple Watch Ultra 5 and an Apple Watch SE 4? That's incredibly confusing for consumers. Surely, eventually, at some point, they're going to just say, okay, this is the Apple Watch SE 2028 or Apple Watch SE 28. Or call it a series. I don't mind them calling it a series. Apple Watch Series 28, but everything is 28.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath for that, man. I think Apple's just going to keep doing it. We'll see. John is now in charge.
It's John Turnus now. John is everything's now in charge.
Yeah, everything's up for critical, you know, like digging into and just being under the microscope. Okay, let's just real quick. There's like two things I want to like focus on for a really small amount of time, but let's just run through what else we're expecting, and then you tell me if there's anything new that we need to update our listeners on. But iPhone 18 Pro and Pro Max would be the next things alongside the watch, presumably, that would be coming out. Is there anything here that has been talked about or that we haven't talked about recently that has come out in terms of news?
With the iPhone 18 Pro, no, not really. Okay. So we are still expecting the only sort of minor news, but it's not really news, is that the finishes will probably be quite similar to the durability that we've expected from the 17 Pro, which is unsurprising considering it's the same design.
Yeah, it's so not going to change.
If you really easily chip your iPhone 17, you probably are still going to chip your iPhone 18 Pro just as easily.
So that means there might be some discoloration, some chipping. The discoloration being with the Cosmic Orange. I'm using the orange again, and I don't really notice any discoloration, but I don't know. Also, I've dropped it a few times, and I have very minimal chipping and wear. So, like, I thought it's been fine. I can understand that it is more prone and susceptible to it. So, I don't know. I think the finish has been fine. But some of the rumored colors, dark cherry, light blue, dark gray, silver, no black again. But the dark gray already kind of looks pretty
black.
So, I think you'll be fine with that one if that's your option. Real quick, out of those colors, which one would you gravitate more towards? I know we haven't seen the official dark blue and or light blue and dark cherry, but some of the mock-ups you've seen, are you just going black or silver?
Dark cherry's not for me. Okay. So it'll be one of the other options, probably silver. Even though I have an iPhone 17 Pro in silver, as I tend to do, I will just get another iPhone that looks exactly the same.
Not even the dark gray? The dark gray is the one that I'd probably go with.
Although the dark blue. Dark blue would be my...
Light blue.
The light blue would be my second best choice, I think.
Okay. Foldable iPhone, aka iPhone Ultra. I'm not seeing anything new here aside from like... I mean, we've talked about we're still potentially expecting a delay. Maybe not. If there was a delay, it might be one of those things where it gets like... announced in September, but it might not ship until the following month, correct?
I would imagine that's likely. It's not entirely clear, but at the very least, we are expecting these devices to be announced alongside each other at the same event, and a bit similar to maybe the iPhone 10 when that came out, because that's a very, it's got a lot in common with the foldable iPhone in a lot of ways. It's a huge paradigm shift. That device shipped, I think it was a whole month later in October of 2017. It may even have been later than that. It may even have been November. I don't completely remember, but there was a gap. I imagine it will be very similar with this. Even if it's only a gap of 2 weeks, I would be shocked if they went on pre-order on the same day and launched on the same day.
I don't know why Apple can't just do pre-order on the same day, but that one ships another time. Like, it's not like we don't understand the concept of...
Well, they don't need more people visiting their site, though. Like, they already have so many people overwhelming their site, so if they can have fewer people put orders in, then I guess that makes it much easier.
I don't think people are going to be rushing to order that. Not the general pop. I don't know how else to explain this besides I don't think it's going to be something that... It's going to look popular. It's going to be sold out because they probably don't have enough units anyways. But I don't think beyond, let's just say 500,000 units are available. Could there be 500,000 orders? Sure. Is there going to be a significantly more amount of orders placed that don't get fulfilled? No. I just don't think that there's going to be millions of orders on release, or not release day, but pre-order day for that phone. I think it's going to take some time. I could be wrong. What do you think?
I would agree.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I would agree. I don't think it's going to be a hugely popular device. I mean, we've talked about this before, but the price is the main prohibitive factor with that. It is just so expensive. And for a lot of people, that is not going to be very appealing, especially when you can get an iPhone 18 Pro Max that has a better camera and a lot of capabilities that would be considered better for ultimately a lower price.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be those, like, you know, people like us, people that are really like just into the idea of a foldable, some of those who switched over to Samsung because there was no iPhone foldable, but used to be an iPhone person in the past. Those will probably go into, you know, there's going to be some demand, but it's not going to be overwhelming. Not for a while, maybe even next year, which we already found out is apparently, I mean, we didn't get official confirmation, but rumors suggest that there will be a second gen, which is nice. And that's going to follow the 20th anniversary iPhone, which I do want to talk about, but maybe not today. The only other thing that I want to touch on really quickly that is into next year is the camera AirPods, which mostly because I just did a video on it. So shameless plug, you should go check that out. But these are really intriguing to me because now that we have Siri out in the wild, albeit in beta form for developers, now that we know, I don't know if you feel the same way, but I feel that it's very good and it'll only get better. And I am much more inclined to use it. I am way more into the idea of some sort of Siri AI capable wearable. And this is kind of that first thing, maybe alongside some glasses that could be coming out. And we got word about these cameras being on the AirPods. Now, before anyone freaks out, they are not cameras that you would use in the traditional sense. You are not taking photos. You are not recording video to use. That's ridiculous. It is more so for your surroundings and for visual intelligence, correct?
Yes, that's right. So it would be to provide additional information to visual intelligence about your surroundings. Now, I don't know how that would be meaningfully useful. But for example, I guess with things like walking turn-by-turn directions to be able to have a very clear understanding of your exact awareness, or you walk into a store, like where something could be located. But I just don't know how popular this will be. I imagine that a more useful feature would actually just be gesture controls for the AirPods, because of course if they can kind of see your hands, then that opens up a whole new series of capabilities to behave a little bit more like the Vision Pro, especially if you have Siri available in your ears at all times. You can tap to go through various gestures or swipe to change tracks. You can move your finger to increase or decrease volume. And I imagine that alongside some visual intelligence capabilities are where we will see this product marketed. But to me, the most interesting thing about this is it's been delayed. We were expecting that this year. Now, apparently, it won't be until the tail end of next year, which is a long gap.
Yeah.
But by then, we will be on iOS 28, which will already be out by the time this product is actually available. So,
and
plenty
Siri
of time
should
for
be getting
visual intelligence to improve. Yeah.
Yeah. Siri and visual touch should just be getting better and better. And here's some things that I would find useful or just would cool. And I guess a lot of this could be done now because there are already microphones, but like when it works together, it could be nice. Just think about how many things. So, visually, when you're walking around and you're, let's say, a tourist or something, what am I looking at? You know, like, hey, what am I? You could do this on Meta glasses. So if ideally these cameras are good enough to see your surroundings, you're looking at a building. What am I looking at? And explain to me the history behind this. And then save that, you know, later and I'll take a look at it. Or you got a pamphlet like, hey, I'm looking at this pamphlet. I don't have time to really read through this. So find out more about what I'm looking at. Save it for me to look at later. Put a reminder, blah, blah, blah. There's so many things you can do. You're listening to now from a more of a, you know, audio perspective. Let's say, I don't know, you're in a place, you got headphones on, but there's music playing around. You're like, oh, I kind of like this song. Like, let's just record that. Or remember this, the location that I'm in. There's so many things you could do with that, that like becomes a much more intriguing thing. And then in reality, when we get glasses, then that just becomes even more powerful. Gestures, I don't know. That's a cool idea, I guess. But I don't know, how often are you going to be like doing this in public to like change your songs as opposed to just tapping the thing? I don't know. Or not even tapping anymore, squeezing the stem.
I don't know. I think that there maybe is an awareness. We've also heard about an Apple AI pin. I think there maybe is an awareness, which I think is sensible, that is actually contrary to Apple's instincts, that when it comes to wearables, actually, one size fits all is not appropriate. I think that the Apple Watch, we touched on that earlier, that there are other options like the Fitbit Air, where maybe you don't want an Apple Watch with a screen because you want to wear a mechanical watch. Sometimes you don't want to sleep with something with a screen when you sleep. People have different preferences for these things. The same is really true of AI wearables. What if you only want to wear AI sunglasses? Maybe you don't need to wear spectacles. And so you have no need to wear AI glasses. Well, in that case, maybe you feel more comfortable wearing AirPods at that time. Or you want to wear an AI pin when you don't want to have the AirPods in your ears. So you need to have those options available. And also, ultimately, it can make Apple more money, because if you buy three different products, that's a lot better than just buying one for $300. And there are different situations for each of these. But if they all kind of feed into the same ecosystem, the same underlying technologies, I think they could work very well together. And to go back to your point and actually answer your question about gestures, that is why that would matter, because you would need a consistent gesture experience. And particularly with something like glasses, I think that that's where that gets really quite important, especially if eventually we are intending to get some displays in these glasses. You do need the ability to control what you are seeing on that with something more than just kind of swiping along the arm of the glasses. Sure. So I think that if we can get to, just like it is in Vision OS, if we can get like the pinch as a universal gesture across all of these visual intelligence devices as a confirmation, that's way better. I would feel far more comfortable doing that. And if I could have more granular controls, because ultimately with AirPods, you can skip tracks, you can invoke Siri, and you can adjust volume. But what if I could actually do a lot more than that with gestures? Then that would make sense as well.
One last thing, super, super, super quick. Probably going to get some heat for this one, but just hear me out, okay? It might be a little controversial. I'm struggling on how I feel about this. There is a kind of sensor or a light letting you know when they're active and, like, you know, recording. I'm putting that in quotes because from what we understand, this is not recording anything that you would be able to...
It probably will be infrared cameras, so you wouldn't even really be able to look at that footage and determine...
Be able to access the footage in theory. So let's just go with that understanding that there is no way for us or Apple to be accessing any kind of visual footage. Why do we need a light? So hear me out. People act really strange whenever they... think they're being recorded, okay? When someone points a camera at you, you get uncomfortable. You start to feel weird about it, okay? If I'm just going about my day and I'm not recording anything, I don't want people to act differently or feel weird about, like, what I'm, you know, thinking that I am recording something. I don't want them to even remotely think that I'm recording footage that I can see later. So, like, I think putting a light on it when you're not doing that makes it strange for others around you if they don't know what's happening, you know, like they don't understand the product. So I don't want people to start feeling or acting different around me, but I understand why Apple would do that because of privacy. But if no one can access the footage, I feel like it puts out a different perspective and a different, like, thing that doesn't need to be put out there. But I know that I'm going to... Okay.
I agree. But what I would say is that I think that it doesn't matter what the truth is. It just matters what people think.
I wouldn't be upset that they do it, but it's just weird.
Even though that footage may not be viewable to the user or to Apple, that is not going to stop plenty of people when they see AirPods with cameras saying, "Oh, but then that means I'm being recorded, and I want to know when I'm being recorded."
And so I get the point.
You just have to appease those people by putting an indicator light on there.
Totally understand.
Get off the ground.
I totally understand. I just think it's unnecessary, but that's just my opinion. It's not going to stop me either way. I do not care. I understand if I see someone in public that I don't need to be, like, reserved or weird because they're not recording anything, but not everyone's going to know that. And so, like, that's just my fear, but, like, whatever. I'll move past it and I'll forget. Hopefully that's not too controversial. Like, I'm not trying to say that we should definitely, if there are products out there like Meta glasses and things like that, where you should totally have something. I don't want people, like, weirdly recording others without their consent. That's strange. But, that's just my thought. I thought it was a little strange when I read that. I'm like, what's the point of the light if it's not recording anything? But I get it. All right. That's really all we have right now. Let us know in the comments, of course. Hit us up, podcastmacrumors.com. And we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.